All right, Dr. Fetzer.
Welcome to episode 54 of Gary King's Inconvenient Truths, where Gary presents video clips and stories I don't know are coming. For my spontaneous and unrehearsed response has proven to be surprisingly popular. Gary, what do you got for me today?
All right. I mean, this weather warfare is freaking me out, Dr. Fetzer. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. This is a emergency broadcast. On October 24th at about 6 o'clock in the evening, a tropical storm that was basically nothing and that no one even knew about or talked about turned into a Category 5 hurricane within a matter of hours. And by 1 in the morning on October 25th, it hit Acapulco with almost no warning. No media even mentioned it beforehand. The people, many went to sleep that night not even knowing anything was happening. And at 1 in the morning, about 200 mile per hour winds were going through Acapulco, destroying almost everything. And we did not know what happened at first, because all power and all communications have been out since then. I sent in our team on October 25th in the morning. It took them about 8 hours to get there. They checked what's going on there. Then they had to drive out of Acapulco to Chilpancingo and tell me what's going on. And once we heard what is going on, we jumped into action. We have numerous people, especially at Anarcapoco. There's numerous people from Anarcapoco rushing to Acapulco right now. There is Danny Sussum, who's actually helped out in many recovery efforts. In fact, Anarcapoco has been doing charity and recovery type work in Acapulco for the last 10 years with the Marsh Children's Home, with a few hundred orphans. We've also helped with recovery from past floods. And we have the team that are all ready to go and get into Acapulco. To date, it was actually just around almost the evening on October 25th that people could get into Acapulco, because all the roads were blocked from mudslides and things like that. And when they got in, and what they told me is something that no one knows. The actual Mexican media has been banned from going into Acapulco in various ways. There's been almost no media attention going on. They appear to be trying to stop people telling about what's happening there. I think that's partially why the communications have been down. Partially, of course, the storm knocked most of it out. But even people who have been trying to upload videos from Acapulco, a lot of them have been blocked on a lot of social media sites. So they're trying to keep this quiet. And I won't get into what this storm was, but it came out of nowhere, turned into a Category 5 in a couple hours, did a beeline for Acapulco Bay, and then it completely disappeared. There was actually no rain or anything afterwards. I'll get into what I think happened in a future video. But for this video, I just want to get out there what is happening and how you can help. We need a lot of help. The city's about 600,000 people. They're cut off from everything. The storm itself was so brutal. It's actually one of the biggest, it's the biggest storm, I think, for sure, that's ever hit Mexico. It might be one of the biggest storms in the world that I know of. It's definitely in the Pacific. And it wiped out almost everything. There's every store, there's nothing in it. Most of them, everything's been destroyed. What my people on the ground are telling me is that there is no food, no water, no communications, no power, and no one is helping them. When my guys went in, there's no government people going there. They're trying to keep the press out. So we are the only people trying to help a city of about 600,000 people. Many of the areas we can't even get into. My guys have been telling me they're going to need some machetes and chainsaws. Trees are all over the roads. And they can't even get into a lot of areas. A lot of people are still missing. A lot of the people who work for me, I've lived in Acapulco for 15 years. I wasn't there at the time. I was lucky not to be there. But most of the people who work for us are from Acapulco. They've all been crying all day. And some of them are going back there right now just to search for their family. And there's no one helping them at all. So today is October 26th, and I found out this information around 10 in the morning. It's currently about 2 in the afternoon. We've already set up a website at hurricaneotisrecovery.com. We also have already set up a GoFundMe. That can be linked to at HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. It'll
All right, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, Gary, it's a little too obvious. After Lahaina, which was a land grab, you take a fabulously valuable chunk of real estate and you destroy it in a manner that is irrecoverable for the locals. They're doing the same in Acapulco. This is one of the most desirable, valuable pieces of real estate in the world. And they manufactured a storm. It would have been too obvious if they'd used their directed energy weapon again, as they have in Paradise, California, and Lahaina, Hawaii. So here in Acapulco, Mexico, they manufacture a ferocious storm that then mysteriously disappears after it's done its damage. I mean, Gary, this has just reached a point of absurdity. This is BlackRock, Vanguard. They're destroying it all. They're going to buy it up on the cheap, pennies on the dollar. They're going to put in fantastically expensive condos and other real estate for the elites. This is using weather as warfare against the world's population to benefit the rich. This is just disgraceful, Gary. This is as clear-cut a case as we could possibly have of the savagery, the unscrupulous, the narcissism of these elites who are willing to wreak any damage, any mayhem, any murder, any devastation whatsoever on the population. It will benefit them. I guarantee 100% that's what's taking place here.
All right, HurricaneOtis.com. I kicked in $20 yesterday. If you can help, for God's sakes, do so, because no one else really is.
Would have seen this coming.
Never expected anything like this to happen here.
Sam Brock, NBC News, Bowdoin, Maine.
And with a killer on the run, many families spent hour after hour here on lockdown. Emily Aketa has more on a community on edge.
Tonight, amid an urgent manhunt, tens of thousands of people across two counties are sheltering in place. Police telling people to secure their homes and vehicles.
I've never locked my door once at night. I leave them wide open. Now, I'm gonna get a Ring Cam. Scary.
Today, the streets of Maine's second biggest city, Lewiston, eerily quiet. Gas stations, restaurants, and pharmacies shuttering their doors, and dozens of schools, even 3 hours away, canceling classes. Jasmine Gray hasn't left her dorm room at Bates College since last night.
I didn't think this was gonna happen my first year of college. It's just something that just doesn't happen in Maine. Because it's so safe.
A shock echoed by Trevor Brooks, who learned one of his customers is in critical condition.
It is a close-knit community, you know. I would say we're more like 3 degrees of separation rather than six around here.
Governor Janet Mills, who worked in Lewiston for years, called Wednesday's violence an assault on Maine's peace of mind.
Our small state of just 1.3 million people has long been known as one of the safest states in the nation.
The mass shooting's death toll approaches the number of homicides the entire state typically sees throughout the year. A total of 29 homicides last year, 20 the year before. On the Facebook page for Schmeggy's, where 8 people died, this post: I'm at a loss for words. In a split second, your world gets turned upside down for no good reason. How can we make any sense of this? A heart-wrenching question many here are wrestling with tonight.
I'm gonna go home tonight and be with my kids, and I'm not gonna watch the news thinking, wow, that was in Florida or Texas. That was in my backyard.
Emily Ikeda, NBC News, Lewiston, Maine.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated about breaking news and top stories on the NBC News app or follow us on social media.
Okay.
Well, Lewiston, Maine now joins Sandy Hook, Connecticut, Parkland, Florida, Orlando, Las Vegas, Uvalde, Nashville. These are all contrived. This is phony. This is fake. They pick Maine precisely because Maine is so safe. This thing, something like this would never happen there. And in fact, it didn't happen there. It's a fiction. This is a creation. This is more of Hollywood comes to Washington, D.C. Barack Obama had the inspiration to begin with Sandy Hook, though if you go back even earlier at Columbine, we have video showing him dragging a couple of mannequins out on the lawn. So I think that was kind of the pilot, the beta test. Sandy Hook was going whole hog. I brought together 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, where we established that the school had been closed by 2008. It turns out it was actually closed in 2006, that there were no students or teachers there, and that it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where we even found the FEMA manual. I have subsequently learned through interaction with participants, one, a young woman who was cast as a girl as a victim, Emily Parker, another who was cast as a teacher, Vicky Soto, who have confirmed that, in fact, the school actually was closed in 2006, and it wasn't even an elementary school, Gary. It was a special needs school, which explains why there's only one entrance. Now, if you had a lot of students there, and they claimed there were 489 present that day in the official report, you'd have to have buses coming in, loading, unloading. You can't have one street, one little access where they all could get jammed up. That's why you'd have a U shape. You come in one side and you just go continuously one way out. But it wasn't that way there because it was just special needs. So parents would just drive in, drop off their kid and take off. One of the tells here, by the way, is that it would be the only elementary school in the United States, if not the world, that does not have a playground. This is like kindergarten through fourth grade. They told us school with no playground, give me a break. The whole thing was a sham. I've had confirmation from participants in the event. They love the book. Nobody died at Sandy Hook, which Amazon banned, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month. And I was dragged into a completely fabricated lawsuit to eventually try to get control and kill the book, which was all done completely improperly in violation of statutes and protocols of the state of Wisconsin. Outrageously, I took the whole case all the way to the Supreme Court, which declined to hear it. Sad to say, my inside sources said the outcome of every one of my cases was predetermined. Gary, this is another illustration. I'm doing a special critique about Lewiston Monday, 2 days hence, on my Revolution radio show with Danny Siras, who's long time in law enforcement and is really good at sorting these things out. So stand by. And I'll be putting that up on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and also on my Twitter at Jim Fetzer. But this is, I guarantee it, one more phony, fake stage event. And we'll go through it in detail on that occasion.
Yes. Can you comment just briefly on the lockdown? We started with the Boston Marathon. We have one person running around and they're locking down, you know, huge millions of people.
Well, it's a gross violation of Fourth Amendment, unreasonable search and seizure, and of, you know, the right to private property. They were doing this with no warrants. They also brought in a National Guard there. This was a violation of posse comitatus, which precludes police, the military, the army from performing police functions. Gary, you're absolutely right. They're trying to undermine again and again. Of course, January 6th was another fabricated event. And as I have long since concluded, even the shooting of Ashley Babbitt was staged. And that was so they could call it a deadly event because it was supposed to have been a death. But it was all manufactured, fake. Officer came out fired, but there was no real recoil. She fell back, no blood. She wasn't threatening him. There's no possible way it was justified. This was one more stage event, Gary. In the FBI, there were so many informants, operatives, assets of the FBI, they can't even tell us how many. But I guarantee it was in the hundreds. I've even suspected that the concert crowd in Las Vegas, which was supposed to be some 20,000, might have had 500 crisis actors brought in by crowds on demand at Los Angeles area company so they could feign being scared and frightened, but it was all bullshit. If you want to get an introduction, check out my How to Spot a False Flag Part 1, How to Spot a False Flag Part 2, where I go through a whole host of these events, including Las Vegas, Charlottesville, Boston, Parkland, Sandy Hook, and show you how it's done. Don't miss them. Don't let yourself be played.
I'd like to call out a total shill who hasn't had any hits since the 70s. One's about it's called Cat Scratch Fever. It's about sex with a young woman. The other one's a stranglehold. And here he freaking is. And if I had any records, I'd burn them now, but I never have had any.
Have their dream. Pierce Morgan's dream exists. It's called a gun-free zone. Virginia Tech, Columbine, Sandy Hook, Aurora, Parkland, every instance where the most innocent lives have been slaughtered have been in Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama's dream. Their dream is a gun-free zone.
But
where free people are forced into unarmed helplessness, where the most innocent lives are lost. And that dream has produced more carnage and destroyed lives than anything in the world compared to the NRA convention, where you have the highest instance of gun ownership, or opening day of deer season in Michigan, where you have 100% gun ownership and access, where nobody gets hurt. So if you know that your dream is a gun-free zone and that's where the most innocent lives are lost, what kind of demonic dirtbag would actually want more?
Well, let me stop.
Gun-free zone.
Let me stop. Yeah.
Ted Nugent.
Oh, that was wonderful. That was a sensational presentation. I'm very, very impressed. I'd like to align with him because he's spot on. By the way, Americans use guns for defensive purposes to protect themselves from perps millions of times every year right here in the USA, saving an estimated 200,000 lives per annum. Now, if you know that the deaths from gun violence are around 75,000 a year, and that more than half of those are suicide, you can see you're saving five or six times as many lives by people having guns to protect themselves as are actually dying from gun violence. And most of that is in Democrat-controlled cities where gangs are shooting each other. It's black-on-black violence. Overwhelmingly, the majority of murders are blacks killing other blacks. Blacks kill whites about 10% as often. Whites kill blacks about 10% of that 10%. In others, whites killing blacks is actually very rare. But that's the kind of news that gets a big play in the media. So they do biased presentation. They select the evidence. It's called special pleading, only citing the evidence favorable to your case. Here, Ted Nugent does a brilliant job. He's 100% correct on all counts, and I applaud him, Gary. Great clip.
Yeah, my objection is that he's talking about Sandy Hook and all these events as being real. That's where...
Yeah, but Gary, go back. That's just okay if he wants to talk about it as being real, because he's pointing out that even if you take them as real, it's absurd to take guns away from the American people. You want to appreciate this is more profound than you are giving him credit. He is spot on to take what most people believe and just point out, even given what most people believe, which admittedly is false, but it's what the Democrats want you to believe. Even if you take what most people to believe, the gun control agenda makes absolutely no sense. In other words, even on a worst case scenario, we assume all those events are real. It makes no sense. So I say that's excellent. That's a great argument to make. Remember, we want to approach this from a multiplicity of points of view. Consider different sets of premises. And in this case, in my opinion, he's making an impeccable argument based upon widely held but false popular beliefs. Even on that basis, Gary, gun control makes no sense. So this is good. Don't fault him.
for that. Okay,
we got one. Don't let perfection be the enemy of the good, Gary.
I understand. Second Ted Nugent clip, and that'll be my argument.
I've never been unarmed. I find it.
How do you travel around?
I improvise, adapt, and overcome. Luckily, I helped pass House Resolution 218, which means all sworn law enforcement officers are allowed to carry a gun nationwide. I've been a sheriff deputy since 1984, and my credentials allow me to carry a gun everywhere I go, and I carry a gun everywhere I go. In fact, even in England, American law enforcement are allowed to carry guns, and I carry a gun over there. It's just a tool. If somebody comes at me...
You carry a gun in England?
Yeah. If some dirtbag comes at me with a spike in the bore, I'll just shoot him. I studied San Bernardino. I studied Aurora. I studied Virginia Tech. I studied Columbine. I studied Sandy Hook. I studied them all. Do you know, Joe, and everybody better write this down, because I'm the only guy that will tell you this. I've studied the cadence, the bullet manufacturers, the rate of fire, the movement of the perp, and the movement of the victims. In every instance, including in Connecticut, including Aurora, including San Bernardino right here, there were American citizens who would have had a gun on their person if they were allowed to. And they could have been a meaningful force to at least reduce, if not terminate, the violent, murderous threat. But by law, we have been so dumbed down and so forced against our natural survival instinct to have a tool on our belt.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, look, even San Bernardino is totally fabricated and fake. I can't believe. I mean, if he's really studying them, he ought to understand better that these were scripted events. In San Bernardino, for example, you got the woman, the female perp, is supposed to be in the car that sort of rolls out, and it's subjected to a lot of fire. But if you look more closely, the bullet holes in the car are little stickers or fake bullet holes. And when she falls out on the right side, she's manacled, and it's a mannequin. I mean, you know, something's going on here where Ted Nugent really needs to understand these matters better. I'm going to reach out to him, Gary, if I can succeed in making contact. Because the guy has a wonderful presence. He looks terrific. He's very articulate. I love his delivery. I think he's a mighty force for good. And the fact is that it's qualified because he had to understand how virtually all of the cases he cites are fabricated or fake. But still, I think he's doing a lot of good because he's demonstrating, even on the basis of the false belief that they were real, gun control makes no sense, does not add up. So I'm going to compliment him for the good he's doing and applaud it, but also attempt to reach out to him so that he is better informed about the very cases he claims to have studied, because he's barely scratched the surface.
That's for sure. I like people to really know what they're talking about. Okay, here we go.
Hamas was created by Israel. Here is the former Israeli ambassador to Germany. Openly stated in 2015, it was the Israeli government that created Hamas to counteract the growing popularity of the Palestinian National Liberation Movement. This is classic intelligence techniques where you create your opposition that you can control. Typically make them crazy radical. Here is Mossad chief himself. This is just this year. The Mossad chief, Yossi Cohen, visiting Qatar to tell them to continue funding Hamas. Zionism has nothing to do with Judaism. It's racist. Still to this day, the non-Ashkenazi Jews are treated as badly as the Palestinians. There are many, many Jews who are anti-Zionist.
We want the world to know the Zionist movement is not a Jewish movement. It is the cause of the oppression of not only the Muslims and the Christians in Palestine, but of the Jews. Hundreds of thousands of Jews stand in Palestine, have lived there prior to the state, continuing to live till today, and demonstrate daily and get brutally beaten and arrested.
TruthFreedomHealth.com, ShivaForPresident.com.
Okay.
Oh, Gary, that's a wonderful, wonderful clip. So many important points are being made there by Dr. Shiva. I'm very, very impressed. He's got it exactly right. And saying that, you know, Zionism is actually a perversion of Judaism, is not Judaism, and many Jews are non-Zionists. Those are such profoundly important points to make, Gary. I congratulate him. This was a great clip. I'm so glad you included it here today.
He's making more sense than any other candidate that I know. All right.
All right, we have some huge breaking news. The IDF, the Infant Destroying Force from Israel, has just decimated a hospital full of injured and dying kids. They've just engaged in a hospital holocaust, blowing it to kingdom come. Bodies are strewn about all over the courtyard. They're still counting the dead. People's bodies are torn to shreds. Body parts are everywhere.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
Oh, yeah. And you had an Israeli shell guy who had already identified himself as a spokesman for the IDF, who was reporting right off the bat that the Israeli Air Force had hit this Baptist hospital in Gaza, claiming they regretted they had to do it because Hamas was using the hospital as a cover for rocket attacks. It was all bullshit, but the fact is they were called out on it, and they have desperately tried to wipe the slate clean and pretend it was an Hamas rocket. There's a wonderful piece by Chris Hedges on my blog at jameshfetzer.org about the history of Israeli deceit, about how they'll lie about this, they'll lie about that, they'll lie about everything. And of course, they're lying once again. They were, as it were, caught with their pants down on this hospital thing, and it began the world turning against them. But you cannot believe the massive propaganda blitz as a nice illustration of the extent to which the Israelis control our media, claiming that it was Hamas or Islamic Jihad that had done it. But as Chris Hedges explains, he was covering the Middle East for the New York Times for 20 years as his Middle East bureau chief. He's been 7 years he spent in Israel. He studied all the explosives, the weapon capacity of both sides, and the Palestinians have nothing that could have brought about this kind of effect. Their rockets are slow, they're teetering, they have virtually no impact. Part of the cover story was they found part of the rocket in a parking lot. Yeah, but it didn't do any damage. Whereas Israel, the IDF, has these JDAM rockets. They're much louder and carry a massive explosion, which is what happened here. And we even have video where you can do an audio. You can tell the difference between the Palestinian rocket, very soft, and the Israeli, very loud, and the relative impact. This is an article I recommend to one and all. You will not think of the Middle East the same after you read this brilliant expose by Chris Hedges on my blog.
Okay. All right. On to the next one. Whoops, there we go.
Let me try to give an instance of what terrorism is not. In 1944, the British Royal Air Force sets out on a bombing mission. The target is the Gestapo headquarters in Copenhagen. Perfect target. The planes loose the bombs, drop the bombs, and they miss. Instead of the Gestapo headquarters, they hit a children's hospital, and scores of children are horribly killed. This is an accidental, tragic outcome of war. This can happen, but it is not terrorism.
Well, that's a young BB. I mean, I guarantee you, he orchestrated the whole Hamas breakthrough. It was clearly a fabricated stage event, breaking through 15 different points. We got an IDF guy who says this is absurd, that if a bird craps on the fence, they have a massive response in force, that Bibi arranged to get the IDF forces out of there. He disarmed some of them. He declared there would be no response for 7 hours, so it could take a chunk of territory that Russian analysts observe was more territory in a single day than the Ukrainian army had been able to achieve in 4 months of its ill-fated counteroffensive. And, you know, this guy, this was his in his youth, in his prime. I mean, he's a handsome, articulate, persuasive guy. He used to be a used car salesman. He's carried it to the zenith. This guy is the greatest used car salesman, we might paraphrase that, as bullshit artist the world has ever known. And bear in mind, he and Ehud Olmert, who was another prime minister of Israel, were the brain trust behind the 9/11 attacks of 2001, which were calculated to create an incentive for the U.S. to send military force to the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. This is waging war by deception. That's the motto of the Mossad. And what he's done here again is to create a phony fabricated event by allowing it to happen in Israel to justify this massive onslaught. So this is a parallel to getting the U.S. forces or NATO into slaughtering Libya and Iraq and Afghanistan, and they were going into Syria. They wanted to eventually confront the Persian nation of Iran. Iran, by the way, has declared that if there's a ground attack in Gaza, Iran cannot stand passively by. And I understand they have opened all of their missile silos, and they have a tremendous number of missiles that are highly accurate, even though they're non-nuclear. They can do devastating damage. And I predict, I mean, we got World War III here. It's about to escalate out of control, Gary. But if you want another single person responsible, you saw him there. Bibi Netanyahu, who's out to massacre every Palestinian and wipe the slate clean. And by the way, this is out of frustration for losing the war in Ukraine. Remember, these Ashkenazi Jews are actually from that region. They're Khazarians. Ukraine is in the region of modern day Zakaria, and they want to return to have a new Israel there. Well, it ain't going to happen. So what they're going to do is ethnic cleaning to make sure Palestine is theirs, hook, line, and sinker. They're slaughtering Gaza today, tomorrow the West Bank. Remember, as I've observed before, the ultimate solution to the Palestinian problem for them is to load all Palestinians aboard a ship, float it out to sea, and sink it. They're doing the equivalent right now in Gaza today.
All right, I got a friend, Jared, sent me this clip, and this is the last one of this type.
The white man always vilified for this when it was the Jewish ships and the Arabs that were actually the biggest part of the slave trade.
You have to look at who is dominant in history as far as academia, literature, the publishing houses. Most of them are Jewish ran. It's just like with the mafia. Most people think Italian when it comes to the mafia, but it's really Jewish. Jews were behind the books. Meyer Lansky was the banker of the mafia. He handled the books. So it's like with everything else. The Jews will be behind the scenes. They'll put the blame on whites. They'll put the blame on Italians or the blame on others. That's how they stay hidden to do their thing.
Okay.
Wow, what a smart guy. I love him. That was very impressive. He's got it exactly right. Spot on, Gary. Very nicely done. I must commend your selection of clips today, Gary. They have been fabulous, highly relevant, and very timely.
All right, yes, that's a friend of mine who's been watching your shows for a long time. He sent it to me, and I said I would play it, and it was a good one.
Every time that you allow one of these bills to hit the floor for a hearing, you are literally
beating the soul of the most vulnerable of our youth,
our transgender kids.
Hold on one second. Hold on, let me stop. Just one second. I'll get it back. Okay, we're going to start again.
Every time that you allow one of these bills...
Hold on. I haven't found it on the screen, Gary. Yeah, sorry for the snafu. I'm going to get it right back. Just give me a second. Okay, hit screen share. Okay, here we go. One more time.
Every time that you allow one of these bills to hit the floor for a hearing, you are literally beating the souls of the most vulnerable of our youth, our transgender kids.
Medical transition is not just about saving lives, but it's about emboldening and freeing them.
98% of trans people 47. Who start gender-affirming care as teens continue care as adults.
It saves the lives of transgender kids.
This is a gross overreach of authority.
This type of legislation violates the equal protection and the due process rights of adolescents, their parents, and their doctors.
I sincerely hope I can continue making those decisions for my son and not have them taken away by government intrusion upon my rights as a parent.
ACLU in action.
Well, Gary, the whole transgender thing is a subversive movement. It's intended to corrupt the moral standards of our nation. In fact, I think all the promotion of gay and lesbian relationships, which are non-reproductive, has multiple goals. But it appears to me very undesirable that all this should be taking place. The Democrats are behind it wholeheartedly. And in my opinion, it strikes at the very core of the meaning of their party, which appears to have gone full-blown communist, Marxist. If you look at the Rules for Radicals of Saul Alinsky, this is a kind of movement that he advocates, creating chaos. Their objective is order out of chaos, you know, is reduce the United States to a shambles and then rebuild it as an egalitarian communist style state where everyone is equal. You're not really going to be allowed to have private property or achievements or merit and accomplishment matter not. They have a misinterpretation of the concept of all men being created equal, which doesn't mean we're equal in our physical or mental characteristics. That's so obviously not the case, which could hardly be more apparent than the differences between Black and white races, where whites are more accomplished intellectually, Blacks more accomplished athletically, where Asians are even superior to whites intellectually, and ironically, Jews hit the highest average IQ of any well-defined genetically cohesive group. But we have to acknowledge all these differences. If the Jews were only working to benefit everyone, we'd be far better off. But they've adopted an in-group strategy, well documented by Kevin McDonald, that promotes themselves. They discourage intermarrying. They only want Jews to marry Jews. And the most virulent species, subspecies, or subgroup within the Jewish community are those Zionists who believe in Jewish superiority, that they are superior to all the other races which exist only to serve the Jews, and that the world owes them everything. This is of the like of Bibi Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert, Ariel Sharon, Menachem Begin, Golda Meir. They all believe in Jewish superiority and that Jews are entitled to do anything because they're God's chosen people. And what's going on in Israel today is a manifestation where the head of the Israeli defense declared that there are no rules and there will be no retribution. There'll be no military tribunals, no matter what the troops do in Gaza. In other words, they're free to commit mass murder, gang rape, looting, stealing. I mean, it's just grotesque. They claim international law does not apply to them. So although collective punishment, which are imposing by punishing all the members of Gaza for the actions of a few, the Hamas, is illegal under international law, under the Hague Convention, you cannot destroy private property. Under the Geneva, no individual may be punished for a crime he did not personally commit. All bets are off because they say that's just man's law. They're firing a higher law, God's law, and they're going to engage in wanton destruction. I can only tell you from what I've seen so far, the boss is defending itself valiantly against the intrusion. But they're undertaking massive bombing. They're going to reduce Gaza City to rubble like Dresden or Cologne during World War II, which were war crimes committed by the Allies. Well, the Jews are going to outdo them by a considerable margin in Gaza, sad to say.
All right. I forgot why I even saved this clip, but we'll find out quickly.
Oh, boy. I'm going to try to get to this video without losing my mind. Okay, some of the worst moments from The View. All right, let's get to it.
We have experienced many decades now of having agency over our body, of being able to determine when and how many children to have. We know what that feels like. We know what that's done for our lives. We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous... What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second.
Yeah, they laugh, right? They laugh. Somebody might pick up on that and end up carrying it out. Could you imagine if this was said either on Fox News or any other conservative channel or any other Christian groups, to say the least? Could you imagine what the backlash would be coming from these liberals?
It's just
that, don't say that. That's
you don't know. They'll pick up on that and
yeah,
just run
that's
with it.
It's not a miraculous. What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just
that,
kidding.
Don't say that. That's
so Patty's advocating for the murder of those who oppose the supposed abortion. So now, but the thing is, to disagree with her, she's suggesting, even though it sounds like a joke, is to kill people. Well, you got to understand, there are people with mental health issues, people who are demonically possessed in our culture, who will hear something like that and go and carry it out. That's not funny, but again, she has the right to speak her view. But I find it to be very strange that this is left unaddressed and it is left at.
Oh, you don't know. They'll pick up on that and
yeah,
just
that's
run with
the worst.
She's joking. Just kidding. It's
well, let me talk to you about the
one thing I just want to say is I do think this was an unforced error by President Biden. It was 20 days before we had Secretary Buttigieg go down, 10 days before he put out a statement acknowledging it.
Yeah.
This is Trump country. He won by 40 points. He is a president for all Americans. I believe that, but he needs to show that he is. It was time for him to be better.
He placed someone with deep ties to the chemical industry in charge of the EPA's chemical safety office. That's who you voted for in that district.
Mm.
Donald Trump. Who reduces all safe.
Even the audience is shocked at her comment because they realize the nature of the rhetoric and how ridiculous of a thing it was. She is implying what happened to East Palestine with the spill and the train wreck and everything, that mess, okay? She's saying, you guys voted for this. You voted for a politician who put things in place and regulation that did not benefit you. Therefore, it's your fault that your community has been in a bad condition, this had happened to your state, that had happened to your people. In essence, she's saying you guys deserve it. You understand the cruelty of her message? Only George Behar, with her red head, lack of common sense, will make a statement like that and yet get away with it.
That's who you voted for in that district, Donald Trump. Who reduces all safety. He did.
So at the Miss Universe pageant on Sunday, the winner, Sosie Beanie Tunzi, I say that right?
I don't know.
That's her name. She's the Miss South Africa. She said, I grew up in a world where a woman who looks like me with my kind of skin and my kind of hair was never considered beautiful. So do her words resonate with you at all?
Oh, those comments, those racist comments, do not help.
Wow.
Do her words resonate with you at all?
Oh, those comments, those racist comments, do not help.
And if you kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Oh. Okay, Dr. Fetcher, that was loaded.
Well, what a mixed bag. You know, I mean, in the past, there have been times when I've been very enthusiastic about Jane Fonda. Go back to her. Cat Ballou, just a sensational film. Loved it. My daughter and I watched Cat Ballou, I think, 7 times in the same day because it was her favorite film. And then Lily Tomlin, of course, sensational comedian. I just love her too. But their stance here, the very idea of killing abortion doctors is so reprehensible and wrong that Jane Fonda has severely discredited herself. And all the attacks on Donald Trump, who's doing more to make America great again than any other figure in American recent American political history is verges on obscenity. Obscenity, Gary. This is just outrageous. The View, in my opinion, has long since outlived its significance, except if you want to see a nice portrayal, virtually a parody of liberal progressive views in America today. Check it out. You will be floored, flabbergasted. Joy Behar, Whoopi Goldberg, they have lost their minds, literally and figuratively.
Absolutely. All right, a little levity, or not really levity.
Here it is. COVID, slow walkers, more likely to die, study finds. People who walk slowly may be almost four times more likely to die from the virus and be potentially more than twice at risk of contracting severe COVID-19, researchers say.
Fucking retarded.
Taller people face higher risk of catching COVID-19, survey says.
Oh, come on!
Yes, indeed. Let's get down low and go, go, go.
Yeah! That's all, folks.
Okay, Dr. Professor.
Well, it just reflects that you can have a statistical correlation that has no causal significance whatsoever. Slow walkers, taller people. Just ridiculous. You can't have a causal connection unless there's a statistical correlation, but even a statistical correlation, and there are all kinds, doesn't mean that there's a causal connection. In my research on the nature of scientific explanation, for example, I've made the point that you cannot determine which factors are explanatory just based on causal statistical correlation, because it might be, for example, that women whose first name begins with a vowel go into premature labor more frequently than those who do not have a first name that begins with a vowel. But that hardly means that it's causally significant. What you have to do to have an adequate explanation is isolate all and only the causally relevant factors. With COVID, of course, it's everything in the vax, in the shot. People dying from COVID was relatively rare. A study from Johns Hopkins showed there was no significant increase in the rate of death in any category divided by age. But after the vax, the death rate became astronomical. By my best calculation, over a billion worldwide have died not from COVID, but from the vax. So, Gary, we are being played on the right and the left. It's outrageous, but that's the way things are today.
All right. Okay, this is why you shoot them, Dr. Fetzer.
Says he's in incredible pain, Brian and Andrea. And this store clerk says that he's used to dealing with shoplifters on a weekly basis, but nothing like this has ever happened. He also said that the shoplifter didn't say a word during their entire confrontation. Surveillance video captured the moment a man the store clerk said shoplifted three times that day, poured lighter fluid on him, and set him on fire. The attack left Siraj with second and third degree burns on his face, neck, chest, and shoulder. He's been hospitalized since last Friday.
It's terrible, you know. You know, I'm still in a trauma right now. You know, the pain is like, it's like 7, 8, you know, out of 10. And when we clean the wound, it's like, it's over 10.
Siraj, who declined to share his last name, said he's worked as a clerk at Appian Food and Liquor in El Sobrante for about 5 years. On this day, he said his coworker alerted him to the repeat shoplifter who stole lighter fluid each time. Siraj tried to stop him while his coworker grabbed a bat.
He just, you know, splashed those lighter fluid on my face. And I was so scared at that moment, and I don't know like what to do, and just come to stop him, and I don't know, I don't remember, he just lit the fire on me, you know.
The Contra Costa County Sheriff's Office said deputies arrested the suspect, 38-year-old Kendall Burton, a homeless person in El Sobrante. He's facing charges including assault with a deadly weapon, battery, arson, and robbery. He's being held without bail.
I would like to say, like, nobody has to go through this kind of situation. The small stores should have, like, more, like, a security or something like that.
Siraj said he needs several surgeries and faces a long road to recovery. His family started an online fundraiser to help with medical bills.
And how is your family holding up, seeing you like this?
Yeah, they are. All the time they cry, you know, when they come here.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer.
You got to understand, Gary, this is a direct consequence of policies deliberately adopted by the Democrat Party to encourage shoplifting, making it not a punishable crime, to do revolving door justice, to get away with cash bail so you can put perps back on the street to greet more mayhem. I guarantee you, this is another aspect of that order out of chaos policy they've adopted. They've gone full-fledged cultural Marxist, communist, you call it. It fits the Democrat Party today. Sad to say.
Right. On to the next thing.
Well, guys, I've got some good news to show you today, and that is people blocking you, Les, vans, and the old Bill not being able to do jack shit about it. Take a look.
You keep us for company, and we're very nice. We keep you for company, don't we?
As I say, if anything changes, then give us a call and come back in a minute, as long as that gets out for you.
Yeah, just real quickly, this is about blocking the speeding cameras that you get tickets for.
No worries.
We'll obviously mark up that
you've
got...
Well, is it peaceful protest is allowed in this country, isn't it?
Yes.
Ladies?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. And obviously, they can move the van, can't they? So it's not like...
Right.
There you go. Peaceful protest, guys. Feel free to block any ULEZ camera vans that you like. We're completely within our rights. We're completely legal, just to let you all know.
Now that's as good as it gets, because it pisses all over Sadiq Khan and his anti-car C40C's crap, while also forcing the old Bill to admit on camera that people can literally block these stupid vans. Obviously though, not everyone's got access to a little truck like that, but I'm sure other people can get creative if they see one. Personally, I've not seen any myself in my neck of the woods, but I've seen people doing shit like this for a few days now, with this video giving us what we need. That is, like I said, the old Bill admitting it's not illegal to block these cameras, so everyone knows what to do. And shit, given the wet wipe was standing there with a mask on his face, maybe more people should actually do it. Here I have a meme for him to finish it up.
All right, New Orleans is littered with cameras to give you tickets and stuff.
Well, Gary, this is analogous to being on an interstate, you know, and you see drivers on the other side flashing their lights to indicate there's a speed trap ahead, you know. I, as a guy with a heavy foot, have always appreciated the gesture. But if it's not illegal to warn, then I guess the cops can't legally issue tickets or citations. A lot of people don't like what's going on here with a massive surveillance society, and there are exercising their right to protest, and as long as it's legal, it's okay by me.
I agree with that one. Okay, people in pajamas crossing our borders.
Ya te
All right, Dr. Pesser.
Well, Gary, yesterday I was given a projection by 2050, the population of the United States is going to be 1 billion. Well, think about it. Right now, the population is 330 million. We're, because of the effects of the vax, reproduction is dropping. We're not actually keeping up at replacement. So even if we didn't have an influx of these millions upon millions of migrants, the population of the United States would be dropping. I would say by 2030, 300 million. After that, probably lower. To get to 1 billion by 2050, you have to bring in 600 million plus migrants, more than twice the number of present residents of the entire United States, and none of them have any origin in America. These are all coming from abroad. This is turning America into a polyglot nation. We're going to be living in grass huts. The standard of living is going to plummet. We're going to find all kinds of violence, gang warfare. We're going to be reduced to a tribal form of life here in the USA. And I'm sorry to say, but all the mechanisms that are going to bring that about are in place and operating highly successfully today.
All right, two short clips and we'll be done for IT54. These are soldiers that said no.
Did you get the vaccine? Fuck!
No.
Hey, did you get the vaccine?
Yes.
Did you get the vaccine?
What?
Did you get the vaccine?
Fuck no, I'm not doing that.
Did you get the vaccine?
No.
Did you get the vaccine?
No.
Did y'all get the vaccine?
No.
Did y'all get the vaccine?
No.
No. Hey, did you get the vaccine?
No.
Did you get the vaccine?
Hell no.
Did you get the vaccine?
Fuck no.
Did you get the vaccine?
No, what if I
die?
Okay.
Well, the right answer is fuck no. I mean, you don't want to take the goddamn vax. It's going to kill you. It's going to do you serious damage. It may very well bring about your death, for God's sake. And the idea that it's being mandated by the military, what an insane policy. Why even have the military? Just stop it. Stop recruiting, disband it, send everyone home. Why the hell does America need a military? It's not doing us any good. They're letting an invasion take place at our southern border by millions. And no one's doing a damn thing about it. Most certainly not the Biden administration, which is promoting it. I mean, ad nauseum, Gary, I'm on the verge of vomiting what's going on here by this despicable administration in destroying a nation I have served and loved. Damage to the core. We frankly are never going to be the same again unless we can get a responsible administration back in office that'll clean up this mess and undertake a massive deportation program, which Donald Trump has promised to do. But we got to fix the rigged election system that Barack Obama put into place before he left by declaring our electoral system to be critical infrastructure and under the Department of Homeland Security by the America First network that allows the government to monitor the voting and to change the numbers down to the precinct level. That's the legacy of Barack Hussein Obama, Gary, a black blot on the history of America, literally and figuratively.
All right, Dr. Pesser, we're out of sand And it's been a great show once again. So this is IT54. Appreciate you being on, Dr. Fetzer.
Thanks, Gary. My pleasure.
All right. We'll see you next time. IT54.